gives us our aim for this Sunday right off the bat. We don't really have to go digging very far. So we see right at the beginning of today's epistle, he says, almost in a way, brethren, listen up, I have news for you, we are debtors. So the message for this Sunday is about debt. Not necessarily economic debt, but we use that to understand debt just as it is in itself. So debt, as it is in itself, it's something we owe to others. It's a responsibility and justice. And with regard to God, we are debtors to God in two ways. Firstly, because of the gifts that God has given us. And secondly, by reason of sin, our sins and the sins of the whole world. So these two points are two debts, you might say, well, my God, this would be the topic of this sermon. So St. Paul, he makes it clear that we don't have a debt to our flesh, as if we have to indulge it when it's clamoring for pleasure in the things of this world. No, there exists no such debt. Rather, the debt that we owe is a debt to the Spirit. What that means is it's a debt to our own immortal soul. Because of original sin, our soul is something that needs saving. And we know that God does not save souls without our free will, effort, and consent. He does not force us. He does not force our will. But rather, he leaves us free to love him. And St. Paul says exactly this. He says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption, of sons. And of sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Yet so if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. So we see that we can't be glorified with Christ unless we suffer with him. It's not as the Protestants say, once saved, always saved. All you have to do is accept God in some abstract way, and then you're good to go. No, we must do good. We must suffer with Christ if we want to share in his glory. So we are in debt to God because of the good things he has given us. And of course we are in debt. It's quite obvious. We are the creature. He's the creator. So he gives us existence. But more than this, he holds us in existence. He maintains us in existence. It's not as if God created the world and simply walked away, leaving us to fend for ourselves. No, it's the mere fact that we exist here and now, it's the simple fact that it means God must have a purpose for us. The mere fact that we don't just cease to exist, God holds us in existence. God has a purpose for us, and this is what we call in the spiritual life the will of God for our soul. That's what St. Paul says. He says that this is what it means to live according to the Spirit of God, according to the will of God. And from this gospel and from the liturgy of today, we see the message that we're supposed to get is that God has given us all of our talents, our abilities, our wealth, some more, some less, but we are to use these things to glorify God. And we are only stewards of that which God gives us. It doesn't come from us. It comes from him. So in the gospel, in the parable, God is represented by the rich man. We are the steward. And we see in the gospel, there's this moment when the steward, he's found to be squandering his master's goods. He's not doing his job. And all of a sudden you realize, oh no, I'm going to be fired. I didn't do my job, and this is the end of my stewardship. I have no more time. So he does something that's very wise from a worldly standpoint. We say worldly wise, because from a moral aspect, the action is an unjust action. It's something wrong. It's not moral. He calls his master's debtors one by one, and he reduces the amount of debt that they owe, as if this was something that belonged to him, and he could just relieve them of their debt. He didn't, it wasn't his goods. They were his master's goods. But he does this in order to befriend the debtors, because he knows he's not his payout. So he kind of pulls a fast one on the master, thinking to get away from him, to get away with it. So it's an act of worldly prudence, but it's unjust. And it's an action of false charity, as if his master's possessions were his own, they came from, as if they came from himself. And we see the response of the master is almost kind of confusing, because the master, he commends the unjust steward. He says he did a good job by doing this. And he's like, wait a minute, well, that was an unjust action. But he commends the action of the steward, not as an act in itself, but he commends the fact that the steward, seeing the little time that he had left, he, as an administrator over the master's goods that he was given, he does something worldly prudent. He utilizes this limited time in this sort of worldly prudence. And the master sees in this act wisdom, albeit worldly wisdom, but nevertheless, it's this wisdom providing for the future and recognizing what God has gave him to be steward over. And we see in the words of the gospel, says these words, for the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. What does this mean? Well, we are the children of light. We have received the gospel. We are Catholics. We have received the faith. But the message that our Lord is telling us is that more often than not, the worldly, the children of this world, they're way more successful in gaining the things of this world. And they put forth much more effort to attain these worldly things than we do to attain spiritual things. And we know that spiritual things, virtue, grace, holiness, these things are far superior than all the things of the world put together. Because the world will pass away, it's temporal. And we must realize that material possessions, talents, abilities, strengths, it makes us no better in the eyes of God. It doesn't make a difference. What matters is virtue, holiness. Because God is the one who gives these gifts. He's the one who gives us even the mere ability to attain things. I often think about this, especially with regard to the worldly people, you might say, especially those who are working to destroy the church. You know, as we know, they're never going to be able to do this, of course, but they're never going to succeed. But I often think about just their sheer effort, how much they strive, how much they work. And it's a good reflection, a good self-examination, that we never want these evil men to be working harder to destroy the church than we or myself are working to build the church, to safeguard the church. So it's a good examination. It's exactly what the parable is telling us. It's a warning. It's a strong motivation against complacency, laziness, and a lack of strategic planning for our future, eternal life. Because as we know, we only have a certain amount of time to prepare for the eternal. And we see this in the example with the bad steward. As a steward, he's going about his days, squandering his master's possessions, and then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, the master comes to him and says, give an account of that stewardship. And this must have struck him like a bolt of lightning. And he was probably put into this sheer panic. Because the master says, I gave you this, I gave you that, but what did you do with it? And it's our reflection as well. Because we will all have to give an account of our stewardship, an account of our talents, our abilities, our all. indebted to God, firstly because of the good things he has given us. But the second debt is the one which we owe to God because of sin. So our own sins and the sins of the whole world. And when we think of the debt of our own sins, it can sometimes be disheartening. We think of the enormity of the sins of the whole world, especially too, and we can put this into perspective and compare it to economic debt. Think, for example, the United States right now as we speak is in $30 trillion of debt. And just thinking on the number, 30 trillion, we can't even comprehend 30 trillion. That's one followed by 12 zeros. And it's said that if $30 trillion bills were placed end to end, it would distance from here well past the sun. So that's just the sheer number of 30 trillion. But the debt of our sins is much greater than $30 trillion. And we know this because God himself came down on this earth to pay the debt. It's much greater. But as we remember, it's not as the Protestants say, Christ paid the debt. We can't do anything because we are creatures. We can't do anything about this debt, so just live a good life, but you don't really have to try that hard. It doesn't really matter. You know, as the Baptists say, they say we're all sinners, so what does it matter? Well, that's ridiculous. Because if you listen to the real answer, it's this. This comes from St. Thomas, and it's really pretty simple. For us as creatures, it's impossible to make equivalent satisfaction to God. But it is not impossible for us to make sufficient satisfaction to him. Sufficient satisfaction. In fact, we have to do so. We're called to do so. Because God tells us that we must, and God does not command the impossible. As an example of this in daily life, we can think of the gift of life that was given to us by our own parents. And you think of, well, how can you repay your parents for the gift that they gave you, the gift of life? Well, you can't, because you can't give them life. You can't repay it equivalently. But what can you do? Well, you can love them. You can be obedient to them. You can honor them. You can do as much as you possibly can according to your nature, according to what God has given you. That's what you have to do. In full circle, this is what St. Paul is telling us once again in the epistle. He says, we are truly adopted sons of God, crying out, Father. So we can't repay God for this adoption, the sheer love that he has for us. According to a strict justice, we can't repay God fully. But we must love him according to our capacity, as much as we can. And we must do this, especially in our day, when very few people seek to love God, very few people pray and sacrifice to pay off that enormous debt of sin. And it's very applicable to July. A few days ago, last week, July 13th is the third apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, the anniversary of the third apparition. And that's when the three children, they were shown the vision of hell. Our Lady showed this to them. And the message of Fatima was that Our Lady told the children and told all of us that we must pray and sacrifice and make reparation for the debt. We must sacrifice for sinners, especially by saying the prayer, which was taught by Our Lady to the children, O my Jesus is for love of thee. In reparation for the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary for the conversion of poor sinners. That prayer is exactly that, exactly what we're talking about in the Episcopal Gospel. debts of sin, the reparation we have to make. And God will help us to make it, especially by offering up our daily works, our trials, all that God's given us, especially the sacrifice for Mass. Our greatest way that we can make reparations at Mass. We have to give God all our wealth, our talents, and abilities, because these things come from God. So on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost, let us recall the words of St. Paul. Brethren, we are debtors. We are in debt, owing God in two ways. Firstly, because of what God has given us. He's given us many good things. And secondly, we're in debt to Almighty God because of our sins. And also the sins of the whole world. So we have not received the spirit of bondage so as to be men in fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. If we are sons, we are heirs also. Heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.